All right. Welcome in to Toilets to Titles podcast, episode number 44. And this week we have a special guest, right? We're going to do some special stuff. But before we get into all this special stuff, let's go through the formalities that we do on a weekly basis. With me, as always, my main man, my co-host, Justin Stevens. Justin, what's happening?
Hey, John. Got a lot of new stuff going on this week. I start my new job Monday.
Yes.
Really excited about that. That's my new job is my old job. They found, I guess, they have a different way of doing business, so I was able to come back, and it's the best job I've ever had, so I'm thoroughly excited about that. And then, of course, the new guest coming on today's show is actually a new team member, so that's exciting. I'm going to be able to actually get to see the face and hear the voice of a man that's been putting in some work for us. So, I'm pretty excited about today's show. And also, the content of today's show has to do with the old draft from a couple weeks ago that I had nothing to do with, so nobody can rip my team. So I like that.
That's nice. You're in the clear. You are definitely in the clear. Oh. Justin, so everybody knows, they can follow you on the Twitter at JustinFF_. I am at Coach Sheps on the Twitter. Our dude who's not here this week, the Dirt Man, at Nate_Dirt19. And as always, the show is on there at Toilets to Titles. And places you can listen to us, regardless of where you're listening to us right now. You can listen to us on the Apple Podcasts. You can check us out on our YouTube channel, either live or you can come in a little later. Podbean, Spotify. We're also on Facebook. We're on two pages there. We're on the Toilets to Titles page. We go live there. And also I have a sports cards page, When a Family Breaks. Sports cards, buy, sell, trade, all that good stuff, box breaks. We go live from there. Regardless of where you are listening to us, it would be greatly appreciated if you would go to our YouTube channel, Toilets to Titles. It's posted in the show notes. And hit the subscribe button, maybe hit the bell so you're alerted every time we go live. If you don't mind going back and liking some of the episodes that you enjoyed thoroughly, that would be greatly appreciated. And also, as far as Apple Podcasts goes, if you could hit us with a review, you know, something 5 stars, that'd be great. Like I've been saying the last few weeks, we got the next Frankenstank League. We're going to be debuting. We got a few new people, members of Toilets to Titles, so they're going to help us. So we're going to expand this thing. We're going to have about 2 more leagues. And this thing's going to be a lot of fun. Actually, today's guest is a member of the first ever Frankenstank League. And now he's also a member of Toilets to Titles crew. But if you want to get in the league, we'll be giving away some spots. Hit us with some good 5-star reviews, and you'll get a chance to answer. And then if you want to get a better chance to secure your opportunity into this league, hit us with a 5-star review, screen cap it, and DM us at Toilets to Titles. And show it to us so we got it stored so we can go back and check on that thing and remember, you know, who buttered our bread. You know what I'm saying? If that's how you want to put it. Also, just so you know, today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. Justin, you're working on something else on the side, the Handler Show. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for right now, the Handler Show, all you guys need to know about it is get on your Twitters and hit that follow button, and I'll follow you back. Just trying to build a following over there before we get too serious about dropping content. But that show is going to be all about all different sports and learning new things about new sports. And I've got some pretty awesome ideas for things to come. It's going to be an interactive show where I'm actually physically out doing the interviews out in somebody else's element. So it'll be interesting to say the least. So
what was that show where that one dude would go do dirty jobs? Was it called Dirty Jobs?
Yeah, it was called Dirty Jobs. Yeah.
Yes. That's what I imagined. That's
pretty much it. To give you an idea, just as a little teaser, the big climax of the show is going to be on my third boxing interview. The third boxing interview, I'm going to get in a ring with a boxer.
Stop.
And and I'm going to try to make it a full round with them and see what happens.
You got to go the distance, man. You don't try. You if it's one round is the goal, you go the distance.
I'll be lucky to be able to figure out how to get in between the ropes on the ring to get inside the ring.
YouTube, man. Just watch some how-to videos on YouTube.
On how to get in between the ropes?
Yeah.
How do I enter the ring?
Yes, that's what YouTube's for.
If I YouTube best ways to enter the ring, I'll probably get a lot of videos of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yes. Well, I mean, and then you go down a little bit of a rabbit hole that I don't think you'll regret.
Yeah. I'll have to make some crazy grand entrance, that's for sure.
Yes.
A lot of war paint.
I thought this was required, you can say.
Yeah, well.
Now you have to do that. I don't want you, whoever you're interviewing, don't let him know that you're doing this. Like, you got to bring your son, bring a boombox, and, like, show up normal, and then go into the back. And like.
Well, you know the show or the movie Hoosiers?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Okay, so it's recorded at a really historic gym here in Indiana. It's actually, like, less than 10 minutes from my house, the gym is, and I have access to that gym pretty much anytime I want. So we're actually going to record the third basketball episode at that gym, and I'm going to be wearing the old 1960s Larry Bird shorts and a really nice tight basketball shirt, and I'm going to go out on the court with five guys from a local high school varsity basketball team, and I'm going to let them run some roughshod on me. So
I love it.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. So for now, just like the show down there on Twitter, and once we get everything set up and going, I'll give out more information then.
Excellent. Who's that show brought to you by? What's your channel over there?
That is from our Moonlight and Outdoors channel, MLO. You can check them out on YouTube or Facebook. That's where they get most of their following from. That's the studio that you see me record from time to time. They are helping us out with some advertising and some growing. And honestly, this new job I have coming up Monday will allow me to work with the head of the MLO network. So he and I are going to be able to work really closely here really soon when it comes to editing for this show and getting the word out for this show as well. So really excited about the movement, and obviously having the new guys on board is only going to continue to help us grow and get our word out and get word out for all of them as well. So I'm excited. Yes. Plus today's guest actually has a really badass Twitter handle too. So,
yes.
So that helps when it's catchy like that. So that was creative. He seems to be kind of a go-getter when it comes to the marketing area. So he's got some pretty good ideas.
Hell yeah. And Joe, I appreciate you, man. Iced coffee and toilets, the titles. No better way to start a Saturday morning. We appreciate that. Cousin Joe's becoming a regular. We got Uncle Steve. You know, he's like a regular. And then Cousin Joe, my cousin, he's a big fan of the show, and we really appreciate you. Enjoy that iced coffee.
We got to get Cousin Joe in the same league as Uncle Steve in the drinking sink.
That's it, man. Joe, let us know. If you want to – it's not yet Dynasty. It's redraft. So I think we can do that. Let us know if you want in. We'll work it out. But before – we go any further and we get real crazy. We got somebody waiting, and I think he's been waiting long enough. It's the newest member, Toilets and Titles. We brought on three members this offseason, and I think he was the first one that we actually secured. And I'm really happy to have him part of the team, you know, on the show, part of the team. He's going to be writing for us. He's going to be hopping on the podcast from time to time. And there's been somebody who's listened to the show for a long time. He's been interacting with us for a long time, like even before the show. He was a member of Frankenstank, and he's been a member of the team even before he became a member of the team. So it's Ben Dovin, our Aussie friend, at Live From The Ben on the Twitter, new writer for Toilets and Titles, and all of his articles are going to be over at fusionffb.com, including the one that we're talking about today. Ben, what's happening?
Gentlemen, good morning. What's going on? How are we?
Wonderful. Right?
Look at him. Good morning, even though what time is it over there?
20 past 12. Sunday morning.
What have you been doing to keep yourself up waiting for us the last few hours?
Normal Saturday night, man. Nothing out of the norm. Just having a few whiskeys and watching some television, waiting for you guys to get up.
Now, I know you're a beer fan, right? Craft beer. Any of those this evening or just strictly whiskey?
A couple of apricot and peach sour ales.
Apricot and peach. Justin, that might be more up your alley than mine. How does that sound? Does that sound tasty?
That actually sounds delicious. I'm not a huge peach fan, but I am when it comes to liquor. When it comes to liquor, you put a peach flavor liqueur in any liquor, and I'm gonna enjoy it. So I think it's funny too that John probably has a nice hot warm tea of some kind and
coffee,
and,
baby.
Oh, you coffee? Okay, that's even better because that fits my analogy best because John's got coffee and Ben has liquor and I got a combination.
Yes, there we go. So it's fair game here. Excellent. And what were you watching this evening to keep yourself going?
Oh, what was I watching?
WandaVision? We on WandaVision? Yes or no?
No, I don't even have Disney Plus, man. I'm waiting. Okay. I'm waiting for WandaVision to finish, and then I'll subscribe to it. Just some show on Amazon. I can't. It's all over the shop. I can't even remember what it is.
I like that, man. Just kind of willy nilly. That's a free way to live, man. Just let it all hang out. I dig that. So now, we're here this week. We're bringing you on. You hit the ground running. This is your second article, and we really this week we're talking about that mock that we had last week or 2 weeks ago rather. It was 6 rounds, dynasty startup, super flex, tight end premium, and you analyzed every single round. All right, and it's going to be over at fusionffb.com. And I think the next time we do a mock, we're going to do one a month. And we got one coming up in March. You're going to come on. So this week you're critiquing it, and then next time you come on, you might be critiqued. So we got
definitely want to be part of the next one, boys.
Yes, you're in. You're in. You're on the show now. So I think we could just kind of get this thing going. Let's have some fun. Let's talk mock. It's dynasty startup season. I'm in the middle of an auction that's been ripping me apart. It's been a 14 team or 56 team league. 4 copies auction. There was a $2,000 budget. I'm down to about $300 and I only got about 9 guys. So it's very, very interesting, but it is dynasty startup season. And this is the content you need to help you build that dynasty roster and make good decisions in the draft. Cause that's what you want to do. You want to make some good decisions. All right. So Justin, why don't you pull up the draft? Why don't we go through the first round? And then Ben, you hit us with the picks you liked, what you didn't like, and your thoughts and analysis on this round.
Well,
so now if you're listening at home, while Justin's getting this pulled up, clearly we're pulling it up on the screen on the YouTube channel. There we go. And we're going to read through it as well so you can hear it. But if you want to see this mock, here, I would go to our YouTube channel and check it out. So it's pulled up on the screen. And the draft started like this. Patrick Mahomes went first, Christian McCaffrey second, Dalvin Cook third, then Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Kylo Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Saquon Barkley, Lamar Jackson, Alvin Kamara, and Nick Chubb. So we had 7 quarterbacks in the first round, and then just running backs, quarterbacks and running backs, because I think, we know wide receiver, the league is wide receiver heavy right now. Like there are wide receivers falling off of trees right now. So it's very interesting.
Wide receiver.
And we saw the running back position die a few years ago. And here we are, wide receivers were there were 4 or 5 of them every draft, the last first rounds of the last 2 or 3 years. And here there's none. So very interesting. So Ben, what are your thoughts?
Look, my thoughts were, Patrick Mahomes, the right pick at the 101. My least favorite pick of this round was Aaron Rodgers at 1.08. Going before Lamar Jackson, going before Justin Herbert, even before Trevor Lawrence and Russell Wilson, just way too high for a quarterback going 38 years old.
Agree. We have 2 Packers fans in that draft. Hurley, or we had 3. Nate was in there and then Kyle. So that the fact that they were picking against each other, they were knowing their audience. Someone must have felt that he needed to get Rodgers before somebody else. But I completely agree. At that age, it's very interesting to grab him that early. So any other thoughts on the first round?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, even with all the stats that he put up, only averaged about 2 fantasy points more per game than Lamar and Justin Herbert. I'm not a fan of I think Dalvin Cook was just way too high. Personally, you know, I would have taken Saquon if I wanted a running back, or I would have gone quarterback there. And as much as I love Nick Chubb as a real-life football player, in the first round in a PPR league, he's not going to catch enough passes. And there are other guys I would have taken there too.
I like it. Who is there in the next few picks, who would you have taken over Nick Chubb?
Over Nick Chubb, the guy that you took at 2.6 probably.
Yes.
Justin Herbert. I think he firmly belongs in the first round of any Superflex startup after what he did as a rookie.
Love it. I love it. All right, so let's go on to the second round. So the guy who picked Nick Chubb, he paired him with another running back in Jonathan Taylor. Then went Devontae Adams, Derrick Henry, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Justin Herbert, Darren Waller, Trevor Lawrence, Russell Wilson, Tyreek Hill, Zeke, and J.K. Dobbins. So that was the second round. What are your thoughts?
Look, Ezekiel Elliott going before Dobbins and Swift and Akers is just insane to me. I couldn't wrap my head around it after the way that Zeke finished the season. You know, he's getting up there for running back. It was by far his worst year statistically. And, you know, Dobbins and Swift just have a lot more dynasty value. They're the guys that I would have taken there if I wanted to go running back. And to be perfectly frank, I might have taken Joe Burrow over all of them in the Superflex League, who didn't go to the middle of the third round. As far as favorite picks of the second round, definitely Justin Herbert, who was taken by yourself, who we've already talked about. But I honestly think by the time we get to August, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a first-round Superflex Dynasty startup pick. And, you know, I think anybody who is Dynasty inclined should really start to see that now. And, I'd be taking him ahead of those other guys that went before.
You would, with that Jacksonville roster, you would take him over Herbert?
Look, probably not over Herbert. I think Herbert's, you know, too proven after what he did as a rookie. I mean, that was the best rookie season from a quarterback ever, right?
Even Russ, you're comfortable taking Lawrence
over
Russ?
Lawrence over Russell Wilson in a dynasty startup. I just think his value is just going to be too high. And if you look at that Jacksonville offense, it has some weapons. You know, you've got DJ Shark on one side, you've got Shenault on the other.
Right, the Predator.
James Robinson, you know, he was a productive running back. You know, I think Lawrence is going into a reasonably good situation as far as, you know, teams that normally have the 1.01.
Now, I'm going to list the quarterbacks who went in front of him, and you let me know anybody else you would have taken him over. I can guess one of them, and that would be Aaron Rodgers, but I'm going to list them all. So, clearly Mahomes, Prescott, Watson, Allen, Murray, Rodgers, Lamar, and Herbert. So who all are you taking him ahead of in that list?
Honestly, at this point, probably only over Rodgers. But that's because I'm probably one of the rare few that think all those quarterbacks you mentioned should probably be the first six picks of the round.
I like it. Now, in Superflex, I agree. The ceiling is so high there. The quarterback is blossoming right now with all this young talent. All right, so you really like Trevor Lawrence. You think he's going to be in the first round. And I think, you know, it's going to be a combination of his talent but also the hype. The hype is very strong, and rookie hype, like you, that's another thing. I'm not disagreeing with you because the talent's there. So we've analyzed. We're being practical. He's worthy of a top 14, 15 pick. You know, I say. You say top 12, that's close enough. But with other players – you know, don't get too involved in the hype that you're missing out on, you know, veteran talent. Like, so maybe not in the first three rounds. You really want to think about age, right? Like, that's very important. But as you get into like the fifth, sixth, seventh round, don't get too consumed by hype that you're missing out on guys like Keenan Allen, you know, guys who have 3 or 4 years of high quality production left. You know what I mean? So I sometimes in redraft leagues, more specifically, I do that. I'm so consumed by rookies because I spend so much time watching them that the back end of my roster, the ceiling is so high, but the floor is so low. I don't build myself a good base. And sometimes that cuts my legs out from underneath me, and my team starts rolling by the time the playoffs start, but I don't make the playoffs because I didn't have enough veteran production early on in the season. But that's, you know, a tangent, kind of a little off the rails, but that is a thought that I think you should keep in the forefront. Any other thoughts of the second round before we move on to the third?
You can't let the hype get out of control, but you can certainly capitalize off that hype. And, you know, for example, if you feel safer with Russell Wilson, I think you could take a Trevor Lawrence and then, you know, trade Trevor Lawrence for Russell Wilson plus come August or September.
Agreed. That's another completely strong thought. Capitalize. Like, don't let it consume you. But if you see others are, dangle the fruit out there, right? It's like the carrot on the end of the stick. You know, just dangle it out there and capitalize.
Absolutely. When I'm doing a dynasty startup, I'm not thinking about setting a lineup in September or October. You know, I just want to get the most value that I can out of every pick that I make.
Agreed. That is excellent. All right, so let's move on to the third round now. Let's see here. We started, so Dobbins got paired with Swift. And then, so Swift, Jacobs, Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, then Joe Burrow, Cam Akers, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, DK Metcalf, and Antonio Gibson. So, Ben, what are your favorite? What was your least favorite?
Look, the Aaron Jones pick hurt my soul. I just thought it was too high for Aaron Jones. Considering his age and, you know, the situation with him is a complete unknown. I mean, even in Superflex, I mean, they fell here, but guys like Justin Jefferson, and AJ Brown, and DK Metcalf, they're going in the late first, early second round. The fact that they fell to the third round in this draft absolutely blew my mind. And the fact that Aaron Jones went before them and, you know, before Cam Akers, before Joe Burrow, I just think that's unforgivable.
I like that. We need to make that a drop. I like that. So what was your favorite pick of this round?
My favorite pick? My favorite pick was DK Metcalf because I'm a big DK Metcalf believer. I thought at 3.11, I mean, he's my dynasty wide receiver one at the moment. I know that you hear things, Pete Carroll wants to run the ball more. Look, Seattle was still 20th in pass attempts this year gone, and DK Metcalf was fine. You know, you're hearing rumblings from Russell Wilson that wanted to have more say in that organization. And if the Seahawks are smart, they'll listen to Russell Wilson. And even if the targets get consolidated a little bit and drop, you know, I mean, the majority of those targets are still just going to go to Lockett and DK. You know, there's not really a plethora of other options available. I still think DK is going to get his 130 targets, even if the Seahawks drop back a little in passing from, say, you know, 20th, 25th. But that's not really something I anticipate happening.
Right. I think the Seahawks just get rid of the run, draft Kyle Pitts, find a way to get Kyle Pitts, pair him with Lockett and DK, and let Russ cook, man. That's what I want to see. Now, there's a cluster of running backs that you put ahead of Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm going to ask you where you rank the three: Dobbins, Swift, Akers. How close do you have them? Who is your favorite of the three?
Look, it's splitting hairs between the three of them.
You're happy with either of them?
I'd be happy to get any of those. If I had one, I probably wouldn't trade it for the other one, unless somebody offered me something substantial. But if I had to rank them right now, it would probably be the order that they went in this draft: Dobbins, Swift, Akers.
They all had moments. Like, they all had very, like, Akers, the playoffs, like, he burst onto the scene. But it just worries me. Their situations, Swift and Akers, worry me because of where they are and because of their situation. Go ahead, Justin.
What about Antonio Gibson? I've been on Antonio Gibson a lot this offseason, and when I'm looking at this draft board right here, I see that Antonio Gibson is the last pick in the third round. Personally, I'm taking him over Akers, Josh Jacobs, Swift, even Dobbins, and Zeke Elliott. I mean, And then if we're going to be honest, we are going to drop Aaron Rodgers out of that top two round draft pick. We're
Rodgers should have gone in the third round.
Yeah,
he's got 3 or 4 years left. You know, we operate in dynasty in a 3 year window, I think most people, and you know, I think the third round would have been about right for Rodgers.
Right. Antonio, you know, you're good. Antonio Gibson is just the steal of the draft for me here because I had him as a late second, but am I just drinking the Kool-Aid by overvaluing him or what? Like, I don't get what people are missing here. The dude was super talented. He was underutilized. And as the season got towards the end of the season, he was being utilized a hell of a lot more. And he really showed some stuff. Like, I don't see JD McKissick consistently being a target hog there now that they know what Antonio Gibson can do.
The thing that hurt Gibson was McKissick was one of the best pass blocking backs in the league.
Right.
And Gibson, Gibson wasn't, you know, and he was new to playing running back. He'd been primarily a wide receiver. And, you know, we didn't have a proper offseason. We only had a virtual offseason.
Right.
And I think he can improve much there if they get a chance to have a proper offseason, at least get adequate. Another thing that's, you know, from a talent perspective, I think Gibson, like you, is right there with those other running backs. But the big unknown for the Washington football team at the moment is the quarterback position, right? And Cam Newton? That is going to hurt Gibson's value as well.
Is Cam going to end up there?
Maybe. I think that would be a great spot for Cam.
With Ron Rivera?
Please don't bring him back.
Man, I want to see him succeed. Like, I used to not dislike the guy, and now I'm like, I'm rooting for him because I feel like he's a lot better than he's shown, and I just want to see maybe not peak Cam, but I want to see good Cam again. I think it was good for football.
I agree with you. I think good Cam's still in there, and I think if it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen with Ron Rivera, right?
Right.
So I kind of hope he goes there too. I don't know what the Patriots are going to do at quarterback. I think they'll probably leave Cam hanging out there again and only bring him back if they don't have other options. But I'm really not sure.
I think they'll find a way to end up with Jimmy Garoppolo. They'll find a way.
But then who are the 49ers going to end up with?
Mullins? Beathard? I think they're just as talented as
can I still hold out hope for Josh Rosen?
Yes. That's fair. It's just he's in the ballpark with those guys. Garoppolo, Ryan, Rosen.
Patrick for 1 year.
Fitz is going to Denver. Don't kill that dream. I want Fitz with Judy, Fant, and Sutton. That's what I want. Get Fitz to Denver tomorrow and let those guys eat. But all right, so I want to draw back to these running backs. I think with all four of them, the situation. I think we could rank the situations. Akers worries me a little bit with McVay because they just for some reason continue to draft running backs, and the thought of them drafting a running back in the third or fourth is still there. They don't need to, but the thought is still there. What worries me with Gibson is the offense with the quarterback, and then what worries me with Swift, he's in Detroit, and Detroit's just a bad spot. Like, I liked Kerryon Johnson. I liked Kerryon Johnson a lot coming out of Auburn. And Detroit just – he went there and his career died. And then with Dobbins, what worries me is I don't know if Harbaugh sees how good he is because he looked so much better than the other backs there last year, and I don't know why they didn't ride him. Every time he got a touch, it seemed like he was getting 6 to 8 yards a carry, and then they take him out in a few carries. Like, he's very good. Do you not see it? So each of them have a situation that worries me a little bit.
Dobbins' efficiency was insane, and he was fantastic. Right. Red zone. He looked amazing. He can catch the ball, but they don't really throw to the running backs. But if I had to pick one of those backs to have a massive year rushing, it would probably be Dobbins, just because of, you know, how much easier that running quarterback can make it for the running backs from a running point of view, even though Lamar might not pass to the running backs.
I think we need to find a way to turn this into a bathroom board bet between Justin and Ben, between Gibson and Dobbins. So if you guys want to marinate on it We want to throw this to make
Gibson too.
All right. I'm sure we'll come up with something. We're only in the third round. We'll find a way to come up with a bet. The betting is coming. So Justin, why don't you throw the mock draft back up here and let's go over the fourth round.
Uh-oh. I thought I had it up there.
All right. We are about to go over the fourth round. Here it is. The fourth round started with Godwin, Ridley, Mark Andrews, Ryan Tannehill, James Robinson, Terry McLaurin, Austin Eckler, and we had Najee Harris. So the first rookie running back off the board, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Fields, Keenan Allen, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Ben, favorite and least favorite picks of this round?
My least favorite pick of this round was James Robinson. But that has more to do with the players that were taken after him than just James Robinson not being a good player or a good pick. If James Robinson was in a rookie draft right now, do you really think, even knowing what we know, do you think he'd really go ahead of a Najee Harris or a CeeDee Lamb?
I don't think he'd go ahead of Lamb. I don't know about Harris, though. You know, it depends on where Harris ends up.
I don't even think he'd go ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
We just got noticed that the article's live, by the way. So Joshua dropped in here to let us know that Ben's article is live over at Fusion FFB. So you can go check it out. Sorry, Ben. Ooh, keep going.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I still couldn't take him ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire just because of the draft capital that Helaire has. Like, you know, it might seem like an easy or lazy argument, but draft capital is important. You know, it buys opportunity. And I think I mentioned this in the article, that there's only been five running backs who have gone over 1,000 total yards in their rookie year as undrafted running backs. And it's not exactly a Hall of Fame team.
Yeah, you had Lindsay. 2018 was Philip Lindsay. 2010 was LeGarrette Blount. 2001 was Dominique Rhodes. And 1976 was Clark Gaines. So that is correct. It wasn't a very Hall of Fame team there.
When I think of James Robinson, I cannot stop thinking of Steve Slayton. Do either of you remember Steve Slayton?
Yes, yes.
I do remember Steve Slayton.
Mountaineer.
He got the starting opportunity because I forget who the running back was, went down.
No, Sean Moreno? Was it Moreno?
No, actually, I think Moreno may have been the second string. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like Steve Slayton was the third guy. It was a big name player. I forget who was the big name running back.
Aaron Foster then, or did Slayton come after Foster?
I'm sorry. This is Houston. I'm thinking of Slayton in Denver. I apologize. It might have been Foster.
Yeah, I believe it was Foster. And then the second guy went down, and then Steve Slayton got the job. He had like 2,000 all-purpose yards between rushing and receiving, and that's I'm not even exaggerating. Like if I remember correctly, it was nearly 2,000, if not 2,000. The dude had an incredible season. And won me a title that year, by the way, because I took him in the last round as a flyer. Got totally lucky, but I'm taking credit. And then you never heard from the guy again after that. And I've got this incredible vibe that's what we're going to get from this guy that wasn't drafted. He was probably third string or worse when the season when they picked him up anyway, and then Fournette leaves, they have some injuries. They have a lot of COVID issues at the beginning of the season with Armstead and that guy that
Nebraska,
John.
I can't even think of his name right now, but I was drinking the Kool-Aid after watching him shotgun canned Gatorade with Gardner Minshew. I was like, oh, this guy's in.
Yeah. So then Robinson gets this opportunity, and don't get me wrong, he took full advantage of the opportunity. But I don't know that he's necessarily – and I don't think he's going to fade away like Steve Slayton altogether. I think that was an extreme case. But I agree with you, Ben, that I believe that he's being overvalued right now in most drafts.
All right. So what was your favorite pick in this round?
My favorite pick of this round was CeeDee Lamb. I have him right there with A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf. I think he's going to explode with a healthy Dak Prescott. You're a Cowboys fan. What do you think?
Agreed. I'm bidding on him right now in the auction draft I'm in. I think CeeDee Lamb is the – I think he's an alpha, and I think that Amari Cooper isn't. Amari Cooper is very talented. Amari Cooper is a great wide receiver. Amari Cooper is undervalued. Amari Cooper gets it done. But I think CeeDee Lamb is going to turn into the guy that Dak's going to look to first, and that's going to make Amari Cooper's job easier. But I don't think CeeDee Lamb is going to shy away from big games. I don't think he's going to shy away from big opponents. And I think he's going to be a star. I really do. He's you go back and watch his film in Oklahoma, and then now you watch it in the NFL. Like, he's doing it from the slot. His opportunity is going to be tremendous.
Seems like a more explosive DeAndre Hopkins to me.
I get similar bodies, very, very similar frames, similar hands. I could see that a little more quick twitchy, you know, a little more quick twitchy. But I think he's a little more explosive, where Hopkins is a little more sudden, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, Hopkins, a little more sharp, and Lamb is a little more like, which is a little more big there, but I can see that. Very similar body types, very similar hands, and I do, man. And I was able to pair Lamb in this draft with Justin Jefferson. So I had Dak, Russ, Jefferson, Lamb. Give me these teams from this startup, and let's roll. And then on my other team, I had Kyler, Herbert, Akers, and Terry. Terry McLaurin's my guy. I got him for about 200. I'm at 150 in my auction for Lamb right now, if nobody bids me up. So I have Lamb above Terry, but I like Terry. So I bid on him a little high. Any other thoughts on the fourth round here?
I'm just curious what you guys think of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I just think that he's fallen too far. I think he was pretty productive as a rookie, and from a efficiency perspective.
Personally, what I like about CEH is that he helped justify me hanging on to Damian Williams in the few leagues I had him, because I believe that there's going to be a real competition and John Bell as far as who's actually going to get some playing time. I think it was worth hanging on to Damian if you did, because Clyde Edwards is more of a between the 20s guy, and he proved that. He proved that over and over this season. So I don't think that they're going to stop utilizing him, but I think it's going to be a horrible backfield to try to decide. So I'm going to take the veteran that knows the offense, that is actually somewhat talented, because I don't think Le'Veon is that talented anymore.
I think that he's – the first few games, he came out the gate hot, and then he hit the rookie wall pretty early. And then he looked decent in the playoffs. What I know from his career, you know, watching him back at LSU, he's a big like he plays very well at big games, and he can carry the load of an offense. And I don't think he's going to ever have to do that with Patrick Mahomes, but he's shown the ability to do that. He's tougher than his size would dictate. And this is a very big year for him, and that's like an easy cop out. I could just say it's a big year for him. We'll know after this year, but I agree. There's going to be a little bit of competition, but I do think he's more talented than those guys, and. You know, I look back to Andy Reid, what he's done with backs in his offense, Brian Westbrook. I do see similarities there. He's a little bit of a scat back. I think he's a little more downhill than Westbrook, but I think he can kind of fill that role. I think the potential's there, but you do have to worry. They're going to be throwing the ball downfield, and they're not going to have to rely on the running game. So I don't know if they're ever going to give him enough touches that he's going to gain momentum and get rolling and become a big-time back. So it's a little scary there. I'm a little hesitant, but the value's there.
Yeah, and as a goal line back, really all that needed when you have Patrick Mahomes.
Agreed.
It was a strange pick at the time, definitely.
Yes. Bet they wish they went offensive line.
I'm sure they do now.
All right, let's go on to the fifth round. The start off that round, we had Ja'Marr Chase. Then we had Miles Sanders, Kyle Pitts, Joe Mixon, Chris Carson, Allen Robinson, T.J. Hockenson, Mike Evans, DJ Chark, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, and Baker Mayfield. So where are your hits and misses from this round?
Oh, my hits and misses. I don't think you're going to like my favorite pick of this round.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I think I can guess. Miles Sanders?
Miles Sanders.
All right, go ahead, man. Break it down.
Look, he was going really early at the start of last year's startups, probably an early second round pick, even in Superflex. And I understand that he didn't produce what people expected of him. But the situation in Philadelphia was not a good situation. He was still very efficient. over 5 yards per carry. And I just don't think that that much has changed for him to go from, you know, an early to mid second round pick all the way to a fifth round pick. I mean, everything is there that was still there last year. He's still young. He's still productive. He can still catch the ball. There's probably more questions, I guess, around the quarterback situation. But and there were a lot of questions at the time of this mock draft. I think Wentz was still on the team. But I still think he can be a really productive back. I think he can get 15 carries a game, 4 to 5 receptions, and that's going to put you in that RB1 category.
I mean,
4 to 5 targets, sorry.
I'm with you. I think this is great value. So my thing was I just thought he was going too high. Miles Sanders in the 5th round, I'll take it. I'll take it all day. It's kind of become a thing, you know, the Miles Sanders hate for me. And it's kind of steered me away from him. But when I'm being practical and putting that aside, you know, hell yeah. He's a RB1 in that offense. Like, he's the guy. And they're going to try to, you know, I do worry about them bringing in a back this offseason. But until they do, you know, Miles Sanders is the guy. And now he's got a little more experience, I think. You know, what worries me with him is he only had 1 year at Penn State where he was the guy. You know, and then now at Philly, he wasn't forced to be until this past season. I don't know if he can necessarily handle 16 games, a full workload. You know, I don't know if he's just going to be a guy who gets you three good games, a few games off, three good games, a few games off. And if that's who he is, that's great value. That's great value here in the 5th. You know, and but this year, let's see. Maybe he gives us 16. Maybe he's emerged. Maybe he's grown up. Maybe he's gotten a little more sturdy. Maybe he can handle it. And again, if that's what I'm getting here, I'll take that. You know. So, what was your least favorite pick of this round?
Well, real quick, one thing
I said: Cooper Kupp was my least favorite pick of the round. I just think that Cooper Kupp at this point isn't going to be more than a wide receiver 3, and I really think Stafford's going to be looking to push the ball down the field to the other options. I think part of the reason McVay got so frustrated with Goff is his reliance on a player like Cooper Kupp and throwing to the slot and, you know, not pushing the ball down the field.
Man, I'm looking at your article. I love how it's got the Dynasty Trade Calculator references. Is that Miss Piggy next to Cooper Kupp? So the images next to the it's throwing me off. I'm not familiar with Dynasty Trade Calculator all that much, but it looks like they put in your analysis of Cooper Kupp, ETN, Trey Lance, it has a picture of Miss Piggy, it looks like. And that's
it's badges for some of the players, and they represent certain things. I can't remember what the Miss Piggy represents.
Right.
But they have certain meanings.
That's funny. But
looking at the mock, another pick that stands out is what I think is a pretty bad pick considering some of the players on the board is also Chris Carson. I mean, he's a free agent. Do any of you think that Chris Carson's going to get a full-time job like he had in Seattle?
No, but he could end up in Philadelphia, paired with Miles Sanders.
Hey, before you guys talk too much about
it. If he does that, would you take him over Travis Etienne?
No. But Justin, what were you going to say?
I don't want to forget this, so I'm going to throw out a T2T Easter egg for our regular listeners. But I think that it's extremely interesting to me personally that Miles Sanders was drafted in the 5th round and David Montgomery wasn't taken yet at all. Just throwing that out there.
It's fair.
But Montgomery not get taken and Chris Carson did.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Okay.
Odd.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rough situation up there in Seattle right now, especially since they everything with Russ Wilson right now is still in limbo. And up until a couple of days ago, I believed Russ Wilson was still going to stay there, but I'm starting to wonder if this isn't a legit thing where he might end up leaving.
There's no way they're going to trade Russell Wilson. Zero, none.
That's what I thought too, but man, he's throwing out teams for his wish list and everything else. Like,
part of me toys with the idea of Dallas franchising Dak and trading Dak for Russ and then Seattle giving Dak a big contract and Dallas picking up Russell Wilson's contract. I toyed with the thought. I don't know how practical I think it is, but I guess it could happen. It's possible.
I think Atlanta would be a good spot for him.
New Orleans or Atlanta. Philly? What about – well, I'm saying Atlanta, New Orleans, or Philly. I think Russ would be – I think Russ, for if they could find a way to – I think Carroll would like Hurts. I think that Philly would need to give a lot more than Jalen Hurts. But I think I could see Carroll wanting Hurts and some draft picks and getting that, you know, if he had to get rid of Russ. And then Russell and Philly, like –
And Ben is just down there grinning, thinking this is how conspiracy theories start. That's what Ben's thinking right now.
Great.
Carroll wants to keep running the ball. They may as well just trade Wilson. Because why pay a quarterback $30-plus million dollars a year to have a run-first offense? Right. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm saying Hurts and picks for Russ. That's what Carroll wants. It makes a little sense to me. All right, let's get into this last round here, the sixth round. Pull this bad boy up. Let me get this article back up. So in the sixth round, we had the sixth round started with is that Julio Jones finally off the board?
Yep.
Travis Etienne, Jalen Hurts, Trey Lance, Tom Brady, Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, Cortland Sutton, Zach Wilson, Amari Cooper, Tua Tagovailoa, and then Dallas Goedert. Again, it was tight end premium. So, Ben, hit us with your favorite and least favorite picks from the round.
Look, my least favorite pick of this round was Tom Brady.
Yes.
6.05. And I mean, if you came away of your Superflex draft with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady as your starting quarterbacks, would you feel fantastic about it? I wouldn't.
No.
I'm quite concerned about my quarterback situation.
Especially in this draft when all these young ones are off the board now. It's not like you're going to be able to come back in the seventh and get a good, solid young quarterback.
This team also ended up with James Robinson. So it's a lot of dislike for this roster.
Yeah, it is probably my least favorite roster from a dynasty point of view. They're not assets that every other player in the league would want or would trade for, you know? I mean, even Travis Kelce, as fantastic as he is, there'd be people who just not. Travis Kelce's what, 32 years old now?
Yes, old news.
You know, I don't want Travis Kelce because he's 32 years old. There are people who would not have that position.
I was a little early last year getting off the Kittle. Justin can tell you, Kittle and Kelce, I wanted nothing to do with last year. I was way early on Kelce. I'm sorry if I threw you off, but I think I was right on. I think Kelce plays the game. I'm sorry. I think Kittle plays the game way too violent. Way too violent. I love the way he plays, but I do not want him on as an asset. And then Kelce's 32, plays tight end, or he's going to be 32. He's got a lot of mileage. Like, I just don't see it lasting.
Yeah, I'm very much with you on Kittle. He's got that, you know, grunt quality about him that he just goes balls to the wall, and it doesn't seem like he's going to be for long.
Right. Right, and Gronk withstood it for a few years. Kittle hasn't. Kittle's got banged up.
Is there a real argument that Darren Waller should be the first tight end off the board in dynasty startups?
I think there's people already who would tell you that Jacob, why's his name gone?
Pitts,
yes. The Pitts would be the first. Some people might take Pitts first. That's how insane the hype is around Pitts.
Well, that's why Waller is great value, because you're going to get Waller after Kelce, after Pitts, you know, maybe even after Kittle.
The scary part about Pitts right now, though, is that after reading that over half of the NFL teams out there don't even have Pitts listed as a tight end on their boards, they have him listed as a wide receiver. I mean, you may be drafting him as a tight end in a tight end spot, and then he switches over to wide receiver, you know. I mean, if you're drafting him to be a tight end to fill a void on your team, then that might be a little hurtful if you're wide receiver heavy. But at the same time, if you can get him later in the rookie drafts as a tight end and then he winds up being a wide receiver, then it kind of boosts you as well. So
Shane Hallam has Brevin Jordan ahead of Kyle Pitts, just so you know. If you need a tight end and you can't get Pitts and you're worried about Pitts being a wide receiver, Brevin Jordan, he'll be there. And that guy, there's value there.
And you know, we love Shane Hallam, and we absolutely love the effort he puts in. He's a smart dude. So that's definitely something that I'll be jotting down after the show.
Definitely something to take notice of. And I mean, I was listening to a podcast. I think it was the Peacock and Williamson show. And they were talking about somebody sent in a question about the Jaguars training all the way back up to get Pitts. And my thought is that I wouldn't do that. I would just take Brevin Jordan early in the second.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what do you guys think of the Tom Brady pick? I just think it was...
Man, I think that's way too early for a guy who in dynasty leagues, I'm trading. If I have Brady, I'll trade him for a second. You know, I'll trade him. I don't think he's worth, like, and then a second. If you play a second out in a startup draft, that's like, you know, 9th, 10th round. That's not top, you know, that's not a top 10 round of a dynasty startup. So I get it. I get that he's got the ceiling, and he's going to give you top 10 quarterback play, I believe, top 12 quarterback play this year, mostly. But he's my he'd be a guy I'd draft as my quarterback 3.
I've been looking as a Colts fan. As a Colts fan,
Wilson.
Yeah.
Wilson might be the 102 in Superflex after the draft.
Yes.
That's possible.
Yeah. I think that's a little nuts that he went like him and Zach Wilson were even close. You know, but what were you going to say, Justin?
No, I was just going to say, as a Colts fan, I've been looking for the golden opportunity to finally say that I would absolutely have nothing to do with Tom Brady in any fantasy league right now. So
I love him as a QB3. I love him as a QB3. And my quarterback's on a bye week. Hell yeah. If the value's there, if I have Brady as my bench quarterback for a year and I'm trying to win now, I'm good with that. I'd love to have him on my bench.
And I can see that, but also it makes it, if he's my QB3 on my roster, it makes it a little bit more difficult for me to wish that he would just freaking retire already.
Right. Right. So. Fair. I get that. If I draft a guy, if I have like I draft like a Trey Lance or, you know, a Zach Wilson, and I need somebody to kind of carry the torch until they're ready, you know, yeah. Or if I have a Jalen Hurts who I'm not quite sure about, and he's going to teeter totter between Hurts and Brady, like Brady's a guy who I want as my 3, no higher than that, you know, no higher. Who's your favorite pick of this round?
My favorite pick of the draft of the 6th round was the much maligned Tua Tagovailoa. I can't even say it.
I'm not gonna Tagovailoa.
Yeah, that's it. He was my favorite pick of the 6th round. Tua, I think there's too much hate for Tua at the moment. I think that he's going to come out of this draft. The Dolphins are going to surround him with weapons, and it's going to be wheels up for Tua.
Wheels up. That's a saying we need to get to Tua's title. He's going to take off. I love it. Wheels up. I think that's good value there too. I think, you know, he's probably recovered a little bit better. That hip injury, they didn't even think he would play this season, and he came back, but he might not have been fully ready. So it just shows a little bit of toughness. I think he should expand his role a little bit in this offense. They should probably bring – they're probably going to bring in – you know, not saying Gaskin didn't play well and the other Savon Ahmed didn't play well, but they might bring in a guy like Travis Etienne, or they might get a Najee Harris, you know, so they might improve that ground game. Maybe they improve. They got a lot of picks. I have to think they're going to bring in a wide receiver, right? So they're going to have Preston Williams is going to be 3. Parker's probably going to be the 2. Whoever they're going to draft is going to come in and be the 1. Then they got Gesicki. So he's going to have weapons. And I definitely think this is value. You know, in the 6th round, this is a guy who could be a top 15 quarterback, and you're getting him this late. That's great value.
I got a question. Look at this.
Look
at it. Jalen Waddle was taken at the 6-6, and Devonta Smith is still out there.
I got Waddle above Smith, babe.
You do?
Okay. Yeah, hell yeah. That's my pick.
I'm one of those guys when it comes to – because you guys know that I don't really follow college football that much, so I had to ask the question because I did watch the championship game, obviously. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, Waddle was injured. I understand he was hurt all season, and he was a great wide receiver before that. But Devonta Smith just blew my mind. And then also you've got Juju Smith-Schuster who's still out there in the 7th round, and you have guys that in my opinion are unproven, they're rookies, they're young, or Julio who's about to retire soon. you have all those guys being taken before Juju or Devonta Smith. And I thought that was kind of crazy. I noticed that the other day, so I thought I'd bring it up.
You left one out, Justin. DJ Moore.
Oh, go ahead. Give us your – we're getting ready to wrap this thing up. Give us your DJ Moore rant. Tell us who you take him above and how we drop the ball, leaving him out here.
I thought that he was taken in the fourth round. I would take him before Julio, before Cup, before any of the rookie wide receivers. Even before Ja'Marr Chase, I would take DJ Moore. He had 66 catches for 1,200 yards. I know he was frustrating to start the year, but I think that guy's just dribbling with upside. Carolina is looking to get its long-term quarterback solution. And, when it does that, I think he's going to be a really, really hard guy to beat, honestly.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
If they get that long-term QB solution they want.
I owned Moore last year in a league, and it burnt me because he was just so up and down. I have buyer's remorse a little bit. Like, I'm a little gun shy to get him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was bidding on him, bidding on Ayuk. I like Ayuk. I like Deontay Johnson. I like Moore. But I was afraid to go all in on him in this auction. Like, not all in, clearly, but, like, enough where I would get him. You know, I'm just a little hesitant. I don't know if he's a guy who's a spurt player, like peaks and valleys, or if he can be consistent. You know, because if he can consistently do what he does at his peaks, it's top six right there. You know, like you said, 60-something catches for 1,200 yards, that's huge, but there were some valleys in there.
Yeah, but how consistent can you be with Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback?
Yeah, agree. Well, yeah, ask DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, Brandon Weeden, but it's a rare guy who could produce when you got, not very good quarterback. So where do you think Carolina is going to go with quarterbacks? Do you think they're going to end up with Deshaun Watson, or you think they're going to go to the draft?
I think that they're going to end up taking one in the draft. I hope it's Trey Lance. I think that guy for fantasy is going to be sensational. Might not start the first year, but he's arm talent, his legs. I really think that he's the total package. I think he's just dribbling with upside. And I think he's the pick at 8 if he's on the board for Carolina.
The Cowboys picked 10. And I love that there's 4, possibly 5 quarterbacks who can go, because that's going to push somebody down to 10. You know, I want all the quarterbacks going. You know, all the quarterbacks going. Get Mac Jones up in there. Let Mac Jones go. Mac Jones is interesting. It's Parsons. I want I would like Slater, the offensive tackle, offensive guard from Northwestern. I'm not really high on Surtain or Farley. You know, so it's hard. It would be Parsons or Slater, I think, right now. That's who I'd like.
Parsons looks like the next beast linebacker. I don't know too much about it, but, his size and his speed, he just looks like a monster.
It reminds me of LeVar Arrington. You remember LeVar Arrington?
Oh, LeVar.
Yeah. He's both Penn State.
He was awesome before he got hurt. He was an amazing linebacker.
Both of them went to Penn State, so it might be the colors that are affecting me like that, but that's what I see.
Yeah. But I just want to say I have Waddle at 2 as well. I'm not a fan of Devonta Smith. Is it Devonta or Devontae?
Devontae.
Devontae, yeah. I'm not a fan. I'm all in on BMI Twitter.
What's that?
BMI Twitter.
Body Mass Index? Yeah, I like Smith. I do, but I like Waddle more. If you go back and watch their film from last year, what Waddle was able to do with Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, like in that offense, he was producing with those guys, you know, and I think he's right up there. You know, I have Jeudy above Waddle, but I have Waddle above Ruggs, and I have Ruggs and Smith pretty close, you know.
Didn't Smith still lead Alabama in receiving last year?
He had big numbers. He had big numbers. So he produced.
Not last year, the year before.
Yes. He put up big numbers. I don't know the stats, but he was all 4 of them. Like, that's why I think that knocks 2 a little bit. You know, Jeudy, Ruggs, Waddle, and Smith, they put up numbers. You know, it seems like anybody. Next year, it's going to be Mechie. Watch out for Mechie. If you're somebody playing Devy, he's a guy who's going to rive up John Mechie. But anyway, we're at 60 minutes, Ben, and this thing felt natural. the newest member of Toilets the Titles crew came on here, gave us his analysis of the 6-round mock. He's going to be on the next one we're going to do in March. We're going to do one a month up until the season starts. We're probably going to change up the scoring, the settings a little bit so that the drafts can be a little bit. But next time we do one, we're going to be able to have a full one with all guys from the show. All right, we're going to have Matt. We're going to have Ben Rudin. So all of us are going to be on there. We're going to be able to see each of our analysis. And also what's going to be fun about that is hopefully that leads to some bathroom board bets, which this episode didn't, but it's okay. We got a long off season. We got long off season ad stuff. So everybody, go follow Ben. All right, it's at live from the Ben on Twitter. All right, he's going to be running the Toilets and Titles Twitter handle throughout the night. I'm sure him and Matt, they can share that. It'll be their time, their daytime in Australia, but our nighttime in the United States of America. And make sure to give him a follow. Ben, his new article is up there on FusionFFB.com. Thanks to Joshua Bigby. Tell us a little bit about your first article as well, so everybody can go check that one out.
All right. So my first article was about Corey Davis and buying Corey Davis because I think he's a value. I think he had a breakout year last year, and I think that's going under the radar. Some of my friends in the fantasy community will probably laugh at me about that. I've been a bit of a Corey Davis truther from the time he entered the league. And, you know, it just shows that if you keep predicting the same thing, at some point you'll be right.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not going to lie, Ben. I'm usually a little bullish on the guys that I like and the guys I don't like. And I didn't like Corey Davis. But after reading your article, you make some very valid points and some very fair comparisons. So you definitely have me looking at him in my dynasty leagues right now to see if I can buy him for cheap. So I think you did a great job. It's a pretty convincing job. So I hope you never become some kind of a salesman on here because I'll probably go broke.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the content you're going to be seeing more of that from Ben. And again, we'll be having Ben on from time to time on the show. Really looking forward to that.
Just before we go, me and Justin did agree to a bathroom board bet.
Yes. What is it? Tell me.
I'd like to lock it in now before they upgrade their quarterback situation. All right. DJ Moore will finish as a wide receiver 2 in fantasy. I say yes. Justin says no.
You say no? You don't think he's in the top 44?
I said no, even with knowing that they're going to upgrade their quarterback position. I think there's too many mouths to feed, and I think that DJ Moore is just simply overrated. I really do.
Yes, and let's go. Let's add this to the bathroom board.
I also think that they're probably going to do more to address the wide receiver position even more in the offseason. I don't think they're done adding more wide receivers because it's like that team thinks that that the wide receivers are the problem and not the quarterback. So
add it to the board. We got it. I'm very excited to see this one play out. I'm glad Ben's on the bathroom board, man. Hopefully we'll have something. We'll have something soon. So Joshua said over under wide receiver 20. Clearly Ben's under and Justin's over.
So Joshua agrees.
I still want the other four, Josh. Josh, I still want the other four. I get four more.
Yeah, you get the four. You get the four. Joshua agrees with you, and then cousin Josh agrees with me.
Joseph. So, cousin Joe.
Oh, Joe. Cousin Joe. Sorry. I'm so used to saying Joshua.
Man, well, we're going to get Joe into the next Frankenstein League. So he's going to be able to get on the bathroom board as well. So all the listeners are going to get on the bathroom board. Rich, he's in the first Frankenstein League. He's going to have to say under. So, man, this is very interesting. I can't wait to see we have a group meet chat for the league. So this should be a big topic. But, all right, I don't want to keep you all listening any longer. We really appreciate you. Go check out FusionFFB.com. Go follow my co-host over to my right, Justin at JustinFF _. Nate, who is not with us this morning, at Nate_Dirt19. I am at Coach Sheps. The show is at Toilets and Titles. Again, check us out on YouTube. I'll put the YouTube link in the show notes, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, Facebook. And if you could, throw us a like, throw us a subscribe, throw us a review. All of that would be greatly appreciated. And Ben, for your first time coming on the show, you knocked it out of the park. I'm looking forward to much more with you, man.
Cheers, gentlemen. I had a great time talking to you both and look forward to doing it again.
Justin, enjoy your day, my friend.
All right. Absolutely.
Take care, everybody.
Yeah, boys.